This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Craig Kopp. For almost a year now, the Connecticut State's Attorney and the Newtown, Connecticut Police Department have fought an Associated Press request to release the 911 tapes of calls made to the police on December 14th last year, the day a gunman shot and killed 20 children and 6 adults at Sandy Hook Elementary School. They said they were trying to protect the victims' families from more harm. This week, after several rulings against them, the Connecticut authorities released those tapes. Some people want to hear them, some don't. For the record, here is what one of those calls sounded like.
It sounds like there are gunshots in the hallway. I'm a teacher in the school.
Okay, do you have everyone in the classroom and the door
locked? All of my students, the door is not locked yet.
So here's the big question. Do we really need to hear those tapes? Here to talk about that is Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute's Sense Making Project. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Craig.
So, Kelly, why does the media always want these 911 tapes? Surely the Sandy Hook massacre was pretty cut and dried as to the facts. How is hearing these tapes anything other than morbid?
Well, there's two reasons. One is that journalists, our job is to hold authorities accountable. And when you listen to the tapes, you can discern how well the dispatchers are handling their jobs, how well the police did when they showed up on the scene. The second reason is to give the public a further glimpse into what happened.
In Newtown this week, somebody put up a sign, "Vulture Media, you got your tapes. Are you happy? Please leave." Now, Kelly, a lot of people certainly feel that the media wanted these tapes to draw viewers and readers.
20 years ago, if something like this had happened and these tapes had been released, broadcasters would have used them very judiciously. They would have used small clips. They wouldn't have used it over and over again. And they would have been very sensitive about how this information was made available to the public. The reality is today, journalists are no longer the gatekeepers. These tapes were released to everyone, which means that anyone can put them up on the internet, and many people are. So journalists now have to decide, as I serve my audience, how do I do that in a way that is most responsible? But I do not want to be patronizing and be in the position of telling my audience, no, I'm not going to let you see this information or hear this information simply because I might have some qualms about it.
So what's a media consumer to do? I will tell you personally, I get this as a journalist, why we need to make sure that the government releases these tapes to us. But as a consumer, man, it makes my skin crawl.
So I don't think it's a bad thing to not listen to the tapes. And you have the ability to make that decision yourself as a consumer. Don't click on that little file where you hear the audio. And you can completely shield yourself from listening to the tapes. If you want to listen to the tapes, I actually found listening to them without any other information really confusing. And I would recommend that you go to a website, the Hartford Current, the New Haven, Connecticut Register. They all did really good stories that help explain what's actually happening in the tapes. I don't think that children should be listening to these tapes. Anyone under the age of 14 or 15, this is really disturbing and hard to comprehend.
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute Sense Making Project. Kelly, it's an information age, and sometimes that information is hard to handle.
It is, and those are tough calls to make if you are in journalism or if you are a consumer. We're all in the boat together.